UAP. Welcome everybody to the Uncovering Anomalies podcast. I'm joined always by I Want to Believe Adam.
That one worked.
And hey, I am Tippity Toppity Topher. And welcome to the show. We were just talking about daylight savings time.
Yeah, and it was a blessing today. You know, usually right now it'll be 12 afternoon.
Yeah, so we got that extra hour of sleep. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, and I even slept earlier because of that.
So we missed you all last week. Did you end up putting something up? I didn't
check. I did not put anything up. I did put out a tweet that we're out. So, but no, I didn't put anything up.
I was very, very sick last weekend. Ugh, oh man.
That sucks.
I couldn't even keep water down. It was the worst. I was on the phone with my mom and I was like, hold on, I gotta throw up. And
oh my god.
She heard me throwing up for like 5 minutes. I felt so bad.
Oh man, she should have just called you back. Oh yeah, dude.
No, I had the flu Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I couldn't keep anything down. I didn't eat a thing. I couldn't even drink water.
It wasn't like food poisoning. That's what usually it is, right? Food poisoning. You can't keep anything down.
Yeah, no, it was the flu. I felt so shitty. It was the worst.
Oh, and man.
It was one of those things where I was throwing up so fast I couldn't even get to the toilet. So I had a bunch of those reusable grocery bags next to my bed, and I would just lean over and grab it and puke into those.
Oh, see, lots of dry heaving. Well, no, if
there's
puking up the water.
That's the thing is I don't mind throwing up. I know it's weird to say, when you actually have something of substance to throw up, I can deal with that. But the dry heaving that comes after, that's the worst. Or just throwing up, like a little bit of bile. Ugh.
I think that's why also I don't like throwing up, because it always ends up with dry heaving. So that's the thing. Like, I don't even want to get there, but yeah, it always feels better. You know, I always delay throwing up, always. Like, no, I don't want to do it. And I'll try everything and anything just to delay it. But I always inevitably throw up. And I could have saved myself the agony and the pain if I just threw up like an hour or 2 hours before that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I hear you.
It's a nice conversation about puking.
Yeah. Great way to start the show.
Hey, all great movies start with a puke scene.
Yep,
I can't back that up. I don't know.
I was gonna go with you. I was gonna say, yep, that's 100% factual.
Well, cool, man. There's a lot going on in the world. Obviously, I'm gonna try as hard as I can not to talk about this stupid conflict. We see enough of that bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So maybe we won't at all. So that's good though. But so MH370. I mean, we've been sharing this back and forth forever.
Well, yeah, right. the story came back up a few weeks ago.
With that
crazy footage of the orbs circling it.
Exactly. So it's MH370. There was a video that's been floating around since 2014, and I've dismissed it from the first time I saw it. But then I guess a drone one surfaced afterwards, and the community has done a lot of investigating, and apparently, you know, they're either real or they're just impossible fakes, especially that it was made 3 days after the event. That's when the video came out. So like to even render it and create it would take weeks. And that was in 2014. It probably take even longer or even more impossible. But I mean, this guy, so he's risen up. His name's Ashton Forbes. Have you seen his interviews or heard of him?
I have not.
So he's made the rounds, and he's made a really convincing case of these things being real and what that can mean, you know. So he was on an interview with alien scientists, and this is, I mean, I'll show some clips of it, but it's just insane when he goes through this one list where he, you know, saying like what the hoaxers would have to know to do this. And it's such a long list. And when he goes through it, you're like, yeah, exactly. There's no way this thing's hoaxed. But everyone is still obviously skeptical because it's bizarre, right?
Yeah. Well, what that's what they always say is the truth is stranger than fiction.
I mean, yeah. So, I mean, here, let's try and play some for our audience who haven't seen it. But we've shared it before on at least a couple of our episodes, like just glossing over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of work was put into it.
Yeah. Now, if you notice the description down there below, it's got a lot of clues in it. We can see that it was actually uploaded May 19th, 2014. But we can see that it says received March 12th. 2014, which is just 4 days after the plane went missing. And additionally, it says source protected. Now, we've looked at other videos that this person had uploaded. There was a number before this, and none of them say protected on them. They say like email submission, other things like that. So this is potentially an indicator here that the person that leaked it to this Regicide Anon account or a group that this Regicide Anon account was part of.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard, like, they actually went out and they tried to find who could have leaked this. Did you see that or no? Yeah.
Well, no, I didn't. I heard what he said, though.
Yeah. So he actually, they went and identifying someone. It's really crazy what they're doing, like, the extent of it.
And then it took, like, 6 to 8 weeks to convince them that this was legitimate footage. Or potentially there's another reason why they held on to it. But my assumption is that they had to convince them the same way that we had to be convinced by looking, you know, and getting 9 years later to get to the point where we could even believe this to be real.
So he's on
the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, exactly. It's been taken off YouTube, so that even helps, you know, more.
Yeah, lend some credibility.
Yeah, when it was published,
a lot of people, they look at this satellite footage you pulled up here, they think that they're looking up as opposed to looking down. That's how little context people have to understand this to be real. I don't think we've ever seen video satellite footage before this.
This is high altitude and it's very still footage. If it is.
So what we think is happening there is it's something called the SBIRS system that is pulling satellite data all across the world. And I've got a media recording of it that I pulled from Lockheed Martin that shows that these satellites are constantly scanned in an IR and huge wide range. You can also see it looks a little bit jerky, and that's because it's 6 frames per second, meaning that what we're looking at is probably a very wide field of view, and it's been cropped. And so you can also see the mouse. There's like a black mouse that sometimes comes on the screen. People wonder if it's something else that's on the screen. It's actually a mouse. The mouse actually goes off the screen in the top right and in the bottom left.
Indicating I can't believe we're watching a YouTube video of a YouTube video.
Of a YouTube video. I mean, yeah. Or of a recording too, because someone is recording a screen, right? It's a Citrix session, a government Citrix session, and that's why he has to pull the mouse, right? But he's doing a screen recording, and the guy got in trouble. But I want to go through his list. We can get to that because that's when it really gets like his list of like things what they would have had to know. To hoax this. But yeah, I mean, what do you think so far?
I don't know. I mean, if this is some sort of hoax, I mean, this is a really wide effort because we've seen right now we're looking at IR satellite footage, but we've also seen the other angle that's in infrared of, yeah. And it's the same thing. It would be crazy for a bunch of people to put this together. I mean, that's a hell of a hoax.
Yeah, like you said. Yeah, so here's the...
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about.
The drone footage. So there's drone footage, too, of it from a different angle, exactly synced up.
Yeah.
Now, in this video, you can see this is received June 5th, uploaded June 12th. So this is actually several weeks after the first footage. Which again gives us more idea of what was going on here is that we ignored the first footage. The leaker probably thought we had absolute proof in the first footage. I mean, we're looking at coordinates that indicate the real location of MH370 around 1840 UTC. Doesn't work. So then they leak a second footage. And now we're looking at this colorized thermal from an MQ-1C Gray Eagle. We watched the plane go right underneath the smoke trails, the drone. This drone cannot catch up to this plane. This had to have intercepted it. We actually think we know where it was deployed from as well, which is one of the islands like Carb Nicobar, I think it is, has a base there.
Not Diego Garcia.
It's too far away for Diego Garcia. Couldn't get there in time.
What about the idea that they just used technology to take control of the plane and flew it, you know, landed it somewhere like there, like Diego Garcia. That's what's
to be able to build a 3D render. This, we believe, is what we're seeing is superconductivity at play here. And you can see them getting pulled forward. The operator is manually controlling the video here. They're not automatically keeping track of it like we've seen in the 2007 leaks. They're not automatically tracking the plane. Seems like they know something's going to happen. They even zoom in. We can see this heat signature in the belly of the plane right near the landing gear here, where we think the smoke is coming out of. And then they zoom out at the last second. Now watch here. What's going to happen is these orbs are going to converge on the plane right before this zap happens. And then we're going to notice the zap is cold. So get ready for it. See them converging already right here? Boom. Now the plane's gone. The zap.
What the hell, man? It's such a bizarre case.
It really is.
I mean, and that's why he's gone crazy too, because he's been so autistic about researching this. And, you know, it's good we have people like that because, mm-hmm. you know, you need someone to get obsessive about these things, not just dismiss them. And then, you know, if they're real, you're like, wait a minute. Because he thinks it's America, it's us, it's the government that did it, that saved the people on the plane or something. They go through it. But here's that list I was talking about. And it's really important just to go through it. And, you know, it adds so much credence to this.
Well, but most of it as well is stuff that we had already kind of concluded. So based on that first satellite video that we have, you have between 4 and 72 days to create it, unless this, the government created it ahead of time, right? And I think I explained why that doesn't make a lot of sense. This is an original work. There's nothing to copy this from. So going back to your deepfake scenarios, normally when you're taking deepfakes, you're taking a real video and you're taking a picture of somebody and you're putting it over the top of it. We don't have that capability here. This is a brand new original work. You have to know how to create the volumetric clouds that we saw. Those cumulus clouds are perfect. You'd have to know how to accurately animate the cameras, how these cumulus clouds form at low altitudes. These are not these high altitude clouds. How to accurately illuminate them from the zap. You'd have to know exactly what MH370 looks like. It's a perfect match to our videos. In fact, the thermal is a perfect overlay as well. You'd have to know the perfect turning radius of the 777 at the altitude while in descent, which we've been able to show that that's what the 777 is maxing out its turning capability here in some type of emergency landing.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, there was some debunkers. Like, the debunkers actually helped prove a lot of these. So, like, some debunkers wanted to, like, see if it can really go down at that angle that quickly, you know, when it turns down. Mm-hmm. So then they proved that, yeah, it's perfectly doing that. With the capabilities of the plane, I mean.
And in scenario, you'd have to know where the plane was at the exact time and the Nicobar Islands there where the coordinates indicate. You'd have to know that you'd basically have to create a separate program to do the animation of the coordinate shifts, including animating them to change accurately when the perspective changes. And again, that changes 8 times throughout the video. And those coordinate shifts are perfect, like down to like 8 decimals. You'd have to know what the weather looks like because we went and looked at the weather satellite and showed that there are low altitude clouds in the area at the same time. You'd have to know how to accurately create the smoke. We used to think it might be exhaust. We've kind of concluded now that it's smoke trailing from the plane. And in addition to that, how the orbs accurately get distorted while they go through that smoke through the trail of the plane when they're circling around it. You'd have to know what the thermal looks like to a level that would fool the experts. I had a source reach out to me and say that their buddy works at General Atomics. They show them the video and they said that looks just like an MQ-1C Gray Eagle footage. You'd have to have better visual effects skills than Top Gun Maverick artists, who they weighed in right here on Reddit, and said that the person that did this front ran all the work that they did by 4 years. That was in 2022. They did a better job than them as well. One of the biggest advantages, they had to cheat the speed.
Man, this is so nuts. Like how much evidence there is. Like, oh, yeah, what it means. It's the implications, really. It is scary. And so now, because now he's convinced, obviously, it's real, right? This guy, Ashton, completely, 100%. You can just tell. He's gone through everything. So he had to find out the guy. If this was leaked, then someone must have gone to jail for this.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
We
treat our whistleblowers really well here.
Yeah, yeah, we really do. I mean, yeah, I mean, if it's really the guy... Oh, wait. Maybe I can't find it. But yeah, if it's really the guy, they really went after him. And he almost got life. Even though they couldn't really prove. Was that in the beginning? Oh, no. Anyway, well, we'll share it.
Yeah, let's move on to our next clip.
On our next one. Also, another thing with it, which was government. This was on Dolan's show.
Oh, well, I've seen this before.
Yeah, the alien interview. Yes. Yeah, you've definitely seen this one. Yeah, and we've talked about this one. But now apparently, and we've always, or at least me, also dismissed it. Like, this thing's fake. It's animatronics.
Yeah.
You know, but then, so this guy's on Dolan, John Stewart, and he also obsessively wanted to prove this wrong. And then ended up just, at least to himself, and builds a really good case that this thing, this footage is real.
Yeah, he fell down the rabbit hole.
He did, and he went like obsessively again. He see this thing here on the right. It's mm-hmm. like some medical device they're using to measure something with this alien being.
Yeah, it's a dildo, and they're measuring how deep his ass goes.
So he obsessively went and asked Mom. Engineers. He contacted the companies. I think he got to one of the companies, one of the defense contractors. Again, anyway, he goes through so many things in this video and builds a really good case that this is also true, which is insane. This came out in the 90s, this
mm-hmm.
alien interview.
Right, you'll see, there it is. The blip only goes up and down. It appeared to only be a pane of glass held up by two brackets. The lower right, the green, it's showing the blip going up and coming back down. And it's got this thick, thick green hue, which we tried to replicate again. Folks, trying to find the truth, which meant I approached this as a hoax. This is how you do it in science. You approach something as it's not true, and then you prove it true. So my daughter and I took a pane of glass. We started bouncing a modern laser on it. It didn't have the thickness, the brightness. It shone through the other side. But an FX person said, yeah,
good on you with your obsession, laser buddy.
On a servo. So it's bracketed.
I did, okay.
And then he goes through this thing. Lunch.
I know I did. And wait, actual no, this thing. Medical device bracketed by metal with electronics and whatever behind the glass. We're not sure that this was a cathode ray tube. No one, including heart surgeons.
It would be funny, like Hollywood effects, like just guys building just random lights and like, you know,
yeah.
Which is what they do in Hollywood. It's just random blinking lights. Like, oh, that means something. But it doesn't. Oh, man. But, well,
everything in Hollywood, it comes from somewhere, I feel like, you know?
I mean, yes, exactly. I mean, then it's always been said that Hollywood's been used, right, as a conduit to tell the truth, get something out there, condition the populace.
I was just about to say that, yeah. It gets people ready for that when the actual truth comes out, so we're not so freaked out.
Yeah, that exactly. That we don't panic. So, this list too.
The unofficial name of those in the program, the alien interrogation.
He went to one of the obsessed. He went to one of the guys on here, or leaked the guy's name. He went to the wife of the guy of whoever's in the interview, one of these high level guys, and he talked to her, and it was just I'm just showing like how obsessed this guy is, and look how convinced he is.
Yeah, well, we need people like this.
Yes. Yes, yes, we definitely do, because all of us wish we had the time like he did, or the passion to go through all this. But it's needed to prove these things, or else we all just dismiss it. Like, oh, that's impossible. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
And retention program.
Is that related to this document? And how this sent me? I have a document here with a bunch of blacked out names. Is it right? Should I show that here, or is it too soon?
You can show that with the blacked out, the redacted names. So this is which I was instructed. I want to be very clear on this, so the keyboard warriors can't run loose. And just forgive me about saying that. This is my retyping of the email that was retyped by someone from the DIA. Do you understand what we're trying to do here? We are trying to. Do you know the separation from the DIA by using different fonts? So I was instructed that I could show redacted versions of this, but I had to retype it. So I just want to be clear on that.
Okay.
But this is basically the way it came to me.
So wait, is he saying the font is classified?
I have no idea.
That, all right,
and from anyway. The DI apps.
All right. Anyway.
So did Larry Soyster get admonished and removed?
Anyway, he obsessively goes through the entire thing. So I think it's important. If that's real also, just how like this phenomenon or this.
It's been out in the open and dismissed by everyone, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, including people like me too, and maybe you. I don't know, but like that interview, like I'd see it, I'd be always half with it, you know. If it wasn't for people like this, even the MH370 thing, also I was like, you know, I was half. Like, yeah, it could be real, could be not, you know, but still dismissive. Even though I know in reality there's a reverse engineering program, we know, and if you project that out, we can easily have those technologies, right? And that interview could easily be real. But it's just, yeah, so it's great to see people like Ashton and that guy. What's his name? Stewart?
John Stewart.
Because they bring so much evidence to these things. You're like, my goodness, it was real. Yeah. You know? So.
All right. Then, yeah. What do you got next?
So sci-fi-inspired tractor beams are real and could solve a major space junk problem.
Have you seen the... It's not really an image. It's just like an overlay of all the stuff that's around Earth right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's a ton of stuff.
Yeah, that NORAD tracks. Yeah, it tracks like things even like an inch big or something or whatever. Like even really small things they track.
Yeah, we've got a ton of junk around Earth right now.
Yeah, because it's dangerous, right? If these hit satellites or spaceships. So yeah, getting rid of space junk, and there's a lot of companies out there, but it's cool that there's tractor beams, and I think they use a static electricity or something. Electrostatic tractor. The tractor beam wouldn't suck in helpless Starship pilots, however. Instead, it would use electrostatic attraction to nudge hazardous space junk safely out of Earth orbit. Oh, nice.
Oh, cool. So we litter our streets, we litter our oceans, and we litter space now, too. I just figured out my new dream job, and I want to be a space trash man.
Isn't that what Han Solo is? Oh, no, he's a smuggler.
He's a smuggler.
There is a trash one, or not trash, something like that. Scrap metal. But, yeah.
A scrapper.
Avoiding disaster. So, yeah, it's basically to nudge things out of the way, clean up space a little bit, which, you know, I'm sure it's easier just using these beams, just nudge it down. But then, yeah, we'd have a bunch of stuff just burning in our atmosphere.
Well, I don't see the harm in that. If it burns in the atmosphere, it burns, you know. There's nothing.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't even hit, exactly. So the electrostatic tractor would use a servicer spacecraft equipped with an electron gun that would fire negatively charged electrons at a dead target satellite. The electrons would give the target a negative charge while leaving the servicer with a positive charge. So the electrostatic attraction between the two would keep them locked together despite being separated by 65, 200 feet. Pretty cool of empty space. Wow.
Very, very sci-fi.
I know, right? And this is out in the open. So this stuff's coming out. And it's just, you know, very simple things. And you know our military's probably did that 70 years ago. Other stuff I saw coming out. This is only October 29th. NASA testing two-way high-speed laser space communication system. Now, lasers have been used in communications for a long time. Yeah. But, you know, one of the first, like, multi-gigabit wireless stuff was lasers, you know, before they made radios much better.
Well, it wasn't. What was the after dial-up? There was.
DSL.
There was another name.
DSL or ADSL.
What was the one? It was lasers and tubes.
Fiber.
Yeah, fiber.
That's still the best, man. Fiber's the best. But that's lasers, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it's lasers and tubes.
Yeah, exactly. It is lasers and tubes, exactly. And it's crazy thinking about how they do it, because each color is a frequency, right? Or is a wavelength. Mm-hmm. So they put information in those wavelengths, and that's why they can send so much. Like they can send like gigabits in just one of those colors.
Yeah, it's super. It's super cool. Super cool technology.
It is cool. And apparently I came from the Roswell crash, right? Mm-hmm. The day after Roswell, for those who read it. So yeah, this is cool. But now we have, now these laser units can track each other and stay synced. That was always a problem too, right? You have to have line of sight with lasers, mm-hmm. obviously. So that technology has gone much better, the tracking. So now, you know, you can have high-speed internet in space and beam it down. Pretty crazy stuff. Yeah, see, 1.2 gigabits per second, which is up to 100 times faster than the old radio communications. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening in space. It's complete space economy.
It's great.
It is pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, your dream of being out in space.
A space trash man.
Space, yeah. Or a space cowboy.
I'd be a space trucker.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? Just transporting things, you know, around the solar system. Or
maybe by the time I'm 80, I'll be able to do that.
The license should be easy too. AI would be out, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, by that time, I read somewhere that every 5 years you live, technology is adding like, I don't know, 10 or 20 years to your life.
Well, maybe I won't have to wait till I'm 80. I'll have to wait till I'm 70. Hell, the retirement age by the time I get there is, retirement's going to be like, you have to be 100 before you can retire.
I know. They keep pushing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, many people don't like being retired too.
Yeah, that's well.
I've noticed.
Yeah, tell that to my dad. He hates sitting around.
Yeah, I think many people like him, you know, same with mine. Like, it's just, it's not a thing. Like, I think it just means moving on from one career to the next, or
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, it definitely feels that way.
I don't want to bring in negativity here. This is a COVID thing. This is Senator Ron Johnson on Fox News. It's a short clip. Yeah,
I'm seeing stirrings of COVID coming back.
Yeah, and like, but and a lot of the truth, I think, you know, we're so distracted these days, right? And a lot of these other truths are coming out that no one's noticing. And, you know, it's like Wag the Dog, right? Right, that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, was it Wag the Dog? It was called the political
one. I just said, mm-hmm. I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, awesome. Well, listen to this.
Extraordinary to me that, you know, the government was working with social media to amplify lies and suppress truth, and has been doing so repeatedly. Why couldn't the American people know that, you know, there were other alternatives to treat COVID? Why can't the American people know that there were side effects with the vaccine?
This is all pre-planned by an elite group of people. That's what I'm talking about. Event 201 that occurred in late 2019, prior to the rest of us knowing about this pandemic. Again, yeah. This is very concerning in terms of what has happened, what is happening, what continues to be planned for our loss of freedom. Again, it needs to be exposed, but unfortunately, there are very few people, even in Congress, that are willing to take a look at this. They all push the vaccine. They don't want to, you know, be made aware of the fact that the vaccines might have caused injuries, might have caused death. But, you know, so many people just simply don't want to admit they were wrong, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that they're not proven wrong. We're up against a very powerful group of people here, Maria. But, you know, fortunately, you say, what can we do? Well, you know, we do have reporters like yourself, like John Solomon, other people that have the courage to report the truth against the mainstream media and against the narrative. But that's the only way this is going to be solved, is we need the truth to be exposed. We need more Americans to listen to the truth, to be exposed to the truth, to pull their heads out of the sand, quite honestly, open up their eyes and understand what is happening in this country. We are going down a very dangerous path, but it's a path that is being laid out and planned by an elite group of people that want to take total control over our lives. And that's what they're doing bit by bit. They do it by increasing massive government spending, increase in the size of government, takeover of the WHO. These amendments that are coming up that are going to be voted on in 2024 and the WHO are frightening, and they really risk taking away all of our sovereignty. People have to awaken to the dangers of the moment.
I mean, it's just
almost like there's an international click there, you know.
Mm-hmm. I did see gold was up though. That's good.
Oh, wait a minute. What's this? That just played by itself. Sorry, what'd you say?
Nothing. Don't worry. It was a dumb joke.
What did you say?
I said gold. I said I saw gold was up because they have that the ticker at the bottom that shows what stocks and stuff. I saw Ethereum was up too.
He had a ticker.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Yeah, of course the gold is up. You know, and all these guys, all these channels, don't they always push gold too?
So, in college, I had this economics professor, and he pushed gold so hard. He just said, anytime he travels, he doesn't take much cash, but he takes a lot of gold with him because gold, no matter where you go, people will take gold.
Yeah, yeah. It can get heavy though, I guess, unless you have pellets of it.
Yeah, I don't remember if he had coin. I don't think he was carrying a bar around, but
I think
he had coins, gold coins.
Oh, anyway. Cool. And gold coins. Well, silver is supposed to be better because it's not as valuable, so you can buy smaller things easier. Because gold, you'd have to probably give it a lot of change back or something, you know. Because it's way more expensive.
His whole point was no matter where you go or like if the world ends, everyone will accept gold as currency.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Those things have proven for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast was really cool. Remember the whole Thunderbolt generator? It's not the same thing, but this is the show that I heard that on. So now this guy's a NASA engineer, scientist. He's written many books. And his recent one is saying that the pyramid, and he's proven scientifically this, that the pyramid in Giza is a power station. Now, they're not, but using natural forces like the Earth and then using magical, what do you call it? Sacred geometry. So again, that sacred geometry is in there, using natural forces like, you know, the earth's circumference, these numbers. It's just so crazy, this technology. It doesn't have to have computers and code, you know. It's it uses the natural world to do it.
Well, and kind of on that note, I mean, they, what's it called, the like Egyptian light bulbs? What were those like? They had batteries. The Egyptian batteries that they
the ones in Iraq. Those batteries.
Those ones.
Baghdad. Yeah.
It was Baghdad batteries.
Yes, I think it was called that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they figured out how to do that before we had electricity. So I mean, it's not all that far fetched.
Right, they were just using something different. I mean, they were technological too. They're just like us, you know, just as brilliant, different. Just they evolved in a different path.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it's a long interview. I think I stopped at a cool place. He talks about harmonics and how it's designed. Again, long interview. Definitely recommend listening to the entire thing. So much evidence that it was some kind of power station.
So. Let me see if I got this right. Number A is a subterranean chamber, which is picking up vibrations deep within the earth. That is transmitting vibrations up those shafts. There's two shafts, one that goes like out of the pyramid to the right, and then one that goes up into the Grand Gallery, and then it goes through the Grand Gallery into the King's Chamber.
Yeah, I mean, okay, the prime impulse in the subchamber, which is A. Okay. So yes. if you're causing or driving a pulse into the earth and eliciting a response, then that's not designed to necessarily be collected in the subchamber, right? It's,
okay.
It's designed to affect the whole area under the Great Pyramid and for vibrations to flow from the earth throughout the 13 acres of the Great Pyramid.
Okay.
And then flow through to the Grand Gallery and also the King's Chamber. So you're collecting those vibrations.
You know, I always thought, I had questions of what those shafts were. Remember, they always said, "Oh, live event." They used to always say this live event from the pyramids, and you know, it'd be dramatic. And it'll be a whole, I think, on Discovery or something. Remember, have you ever seen those?
Oh yeah.
And then they open it up, and it's just some copper or some metallic thing. So it's crazy. I mean that would make sense now, especially that they were metallic. They were just really strange chambers. If they're transferring something electric or electrons, then that would make sense. That's what those were.
The pyramids are the Great Pyramids in Giza are just, they're so cool and bizarre. A lot of people don't know that they were once smooth and covered in limestone. So
yeah,
they were bright, and they had a capstone up top.
Yeah, the capstone.
But they were super bright, and apparently you could see them from just miles and miles away.
What was the capstone? Was that limestone too? It was something really shiny.
I thought it was gold. Or I might be mixing.
That would have been gold. Yeah. Okay, that would have been gold. Yeah, and then limestone is underneath.
Yeah. Did you ever end up reading those books I recommended, the Area 51 books?
No. I remember I wrote it down. There was 10 of them. You said though, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, they're not super long. Anyway, it's fiction, but the pyramids play a big part in those books.
Yeah, I'm re-listening to Redfern's book about the pyramids. The pyramids and the Pentagon or something like that. Such a cool book. I mean, showing this obsession with the pyramids.
Yeah, but the pyramids are super interesting. I remember watching something, I think it must have been Discovery or something, where they found this like really thin shaft that they had to put a little RC car through with a camera on it.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember if they found anything, but there's so many things with the pyramid that are so strange.
Yeah, and I remember buying a book early 2000s or something, and because it was easier to find really obscure books back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I ordered it, I remember, and it came, it wasn't like professionally printed or anything, and had really cool theories about the pyramid and what it was, and I could never find it ever again. My copy or the copy I bought or any, it's just really frustrating.
The CIA got to you.
But it was when apparently it was a CIA guy who wrote it, which is why I bought it, or something to do with the CIA. Maybe they came in and grabbed the copy. It was unauthorized.
All right. So what do you got here?
So that's right. So they Arrow released. It was a big deal. They released the form now, the official form for government employees and contractors to submit their reports formally to Arrow. So that's what this is about.
Department of Defense is taking another step toward making more information public when it comes to unidentified anomalous phenomenon, which is the new term for UFOs. The next phase of its transparency effort involves a new secure way for government workers to share information related to UAPs.
Sure.
The Pentagon directly addressed News Nation's exclusive interview with UFO whistleblower David Grush, who says that there is a secret government program which has recovered alien spacecraft and aliens themselves, actually. News Nation senior national correspondent Brian Enten followed up with Grush again tonight to get his exclusive reaction. Brian, we'll get to Grush in a second, but what are you learning about how they're going to release all this information? And is it meaningful, or is this basically, you know, the kind of stuff that most people guess is there anyway?
Well, we'll have to wait and see on that part, because they haven't released much of the information yet. But the briefing today, Elizabeth, was interesting. I mean, this doesn't happen very often. Arrow, which is the part of the Department of Defense mandated by Congress to look into UFOs, they had this briefing at the Pentagon. Reporters were there. We were able to listen in. We weren't allowed to record, but we could ask questions. And they revealed that they are now soliciting government workers and former government workers and contractors to actually come forward, come to their website where they've created a form online where they can actually go on and register themselves if they are aware of a secret U.S. government UFO program or crash retrieval program, which is.
Oh yeah, don't worry. Just give us your name.
Yeah, I was just about to say this is a great way for the government to figure out who's leaking who's stuff. Leaking.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, man, I hope they don't trust them that much because
I'd be surprised if anyone came forward using this. I mean, why would you?
I know they're all been doing it through the back end. There is a law protecting them anyway. So yeah, why go through this?
That went really, really well for all the other whistleblowers. Look at Snowden. Chief whistleblower, his life's going great.
I know. I think we took away his citizenship. He's not an American anymore. The U.S. government just took it away.
My God,
just like that. So he applied for Russian, obviously.
Yeah,
he's sitting in Russia. So you know when he said that guy Brian on News Nation, he said that we had a meeting with Kirkpatrick where we couldn't record. Well, apparently they did. And they put it up, which is cool. This is a transcript of it, of that media thing he had, Kirkpatrick, with the media. So someone asks, so David Grush is a question. The whistleblower who came forward to News Nation says he reached out to you to share his discoveries and that you didn't follow up. So did you follow up and investigate his claims? He says he still hasn't heard from you. So ultimately, why haven't you two connected? So Kirkpatrick says, so, Mr. Grush, since Arrow has stood up and says I've been director, has not come to see us and provide any information. You know, basically saying he's lying.
Mm-hmm.
And so he also says that he briefed you before you assumed your position in Arrow. Have you had the chance to follow up on any of the inquiries that he made or talk to any of the witnesses? And then Kirkpatrick says, so the last time I believe I spoke with Mr. Grush was when I was in the J2 at U.S. Space Command. Wow, so this guy knows so much, too, about 5 years ago, and it was not on this topic. Now we have interviewed a whole range of people, over 30 people now. I think we've interviewed most of the people that he may have talked to, but we don't know that. And we have extended an invitation at least 4 or 5 times now for him to come over, to come in over the last 8 months or so, and has been declined. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't think I have this queued up, but there was somewhere I saw that Grush was responding to this and saying, yeah, he's lying.
Yeah, well, we know Kirkpatrick's a liar. I mean,
yes.
I trust Grush way more than I trust Kirkpatrick.
You know, Kirkpatrick's like he's just a lying bureaucrat.
He's a scumbag.
Such a scumbag. Oh, well, I don't know if you saw this. Exclusive.
I did see this. This is exciting stuff.
Good timing. Pentagon UFO chief Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick will be replaced by end of the year as whistleblowers accuse him of lying to the public and ignoring witnesses.
Yeah. Well, our government actually did one thing right. Who knew that was possible?
I know. How do they choose these guys and who chooses them? Who? I want to know who is the guy that can just choose the worst, most evil guys.
Come on. It's the government. You've got evil lying people in charge and they want to hire other evil lying people.
You know,
it's not that huge of a leap.
All know each other too, by the way. I remember. I remember just out there in the real world when I was in business and consulting and that. The assholes knew the assholes, and the nice people knew the good people knew the good people. You know, it was just known. I don't know how.
The good people don't end up in charge, unfortunately.
No.
Just remember, kids, if you want to get ahead in life, be pure evil.
So the Pentagon's UFO chief will resign by year's end amid a wave of complaints accusing him of making false statements about UFO whistleblowers and fostering an atmosphere of disinterest. That was a quote right there. Atmosphere of disinterest. All right.
Yeah.
That's good news. I think that's good news. I think.
Well, oh, look at that cat.
Whoa, easy there, cat.
All right, let's move on to I think we covered this thoroughly enough. Let's move on to the next one.
Oh yeah, so did you see this one?
Is this shapeshifter? I don't think so.
All right, is this shapeshifter here? They're speaking in Spanish, so we're gonna have to mute it. I think. Wait, let's see. Yeah.
Estaba
Look at that thing. Oh, wait, no, that was a cat. Wait, but you'll see it.
Dog.
Here. Or a dog. No, but you'll see it here. There it is. So the dog sees it. See how it touches itself?
Oh, weird.
Yeah, yeah. And then when he's coming, he sees it. So it hides.
And so then, we're looking at cryptid yeah. footage right now.
Yeah, they're saying, yeah, it's a shapeshifter. So it just shaped. Oh, it looked like him.
Oh, that is bizarre.
Whoa. And then he freaks out. So he leaves, right? He's like, whoa, what the hell is that? So it turned into him when it saw him. Did you see that?
Yeah. Something. Very strange.
So now it's standing up. It's really skinny. There it is. Whoa, did you see the shadow?
That is weird.
So there it is.
So it's like it's some sort of animal on all fours at the very beginning, and it like scratches its head or something.
Yeah.
And then it turns into a human shape. Wow.
Yeah, once it sees him, there it is. It's trying to mimic his shadow, maybe so he doesn't see it. Oh, whoa. Do you think like that's how they they might trick you like that your shadow? That's
he's not nearly freaked out enough though. That's
no, but what? Maybe he thinks it's a
and then it like stands, it looks like a child.
Yeah.
But it's super thin and it's on 2 feet, like 2 legs, and kind of just hangs out. I don't know.
How he's watching it from far away, and he brings in his mom or something. And his mom's like, what is it?
She's gonna throw a shoe at it, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a powerful weapon. All right, so what? Nothing happens when she shows up.
Very, very bizarre footage. Very cool.
Isn't that crazy?
It's Mexico from, always has these. Where's things. This from? Where's Coa?
Mexico.
Where's that? What does that say? Nava Coa Coa.
Wait, where is it? Where are you reading that? Oh, Bruja. No.
No, at the top, right there. Poor Nava Kaualua.
Oh, yeah. Captain on video, Bruja Ke Dimbula. Oh, yeah. Poor Nava Kaualua.
Something like that.
I'm sure we just butchered that.
My brother's going to be really mad if he listens to this episode.
But isn't that crazy? So, wait. Oh, does he go back to it?
This is showing the when he first walks up to it.
There's... They keep on. I want to know what the mom did. So he went to go get his mom.
It looks like it just left. And by the time the mom got there, it was gone.
Oh, yeah. Look at her. She's right there. There's nothing there anymore. She's like, oh, shit. The mom's here.
Yeah.
All right. That's really weird.
Very weird.
By the way, yeah. So when it comes to like UFOs and stuff, that's all I really had.
Really?
Yeah. The rest is all stupid. The conflict. And that stuff, which is super negative.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, so are we doing a really short episode today, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't sure we were going to have a full one.
Yeah. Sorry, I left you in the lurch a little bit.
No, that's fine. That's totally fine, dude. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, we have to be flexible with these things. So, you know, stuff happens. We can't always be on podcast mode. I mean, are there any podcasts out there or people who have been in every single show like for the entirety of their career? Probably not.
So as you know, I like Last Podcast on the Left.
Yeah.
Those two of them have been in every single show. Actually, they they just got rid of their third guy, Ben, after allegations of sexual assault.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So they're moving forward with a new third guy.
Oh, okay. So, but before he was fired, was he also on every single episode?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the three of them were.
I think once in a while they would skip a week or a couple weeks, you know, for holidays and stuff that.
Yeah. I was gonna have Kay back on if it had to be that way. I was like, oh man, I need someone. I don't know if I could do it alone. You know, it's just strange, mm-hmm. like, because you're basically talking to yourself when you're doing it alone.
You know, a lot of, and I honestly can't stand podcasts, because there actually are a lot of podcasts that do that, where it's just one guy.
It's just one of them, yeah.
Yeah. But usually they have like someone in the booth that sends them clips and stuff like that, even though they don't talk.
Okay, like a producer. Yeah, that's very true. So they're not truly alone.
Right.
Or yeah, and then if they're if you're streaming live, you have people in chat, you're not alone either.
Right.
Maybe that's why they do that too.
I would love to eventually have chat going while we podcast.
I think we'd do that actually. I mean, if we want to do the next one, we could do that.
I don't think we've got a big enough audience to.
You have to build that. Yeah, it's the only way to build it is to do it. So like, and then because what happens, the algorithm does share you on. They'll put you on some people's home pages.
Can we do that on StreamYard?
Yeah, we can. We can connect it to YouTube.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, so we can try that if you want and see.
Let's wait a little bit. I'm not sure I'm ready for it.
All right. What about showing it? What about showing our faces? Are you ready for that?
Oh, absolutely not. That's not happening.
Hats on sunglasses.
If anyone at work figured out I was doing this,
I'd
be in so much trouble.
I know. I'd lose my. I am not going to say it, but I mean, yeah. What about the sunglasses and hats? Isn't that kind of sunglasses, hats, and
mask
and face masks? Yes.
But then, see, if we do that, it's not even worthwhile because we're not even. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen, once we get super podcast famous and we can do this full time and we can quit our jobs, then we can show our faces.
Or it's like, woohoo, done. Take that, suckers. Well, the thing is, though, you need a lot of payment options too. No, I'm kidding. I mean, we would never get to that level. I mean, there are people who are canceled from everything, but they're complete enemies of the system. I mean, they're very different. But and could you imagine like not being able to do Venmo, PayPal? No banks will take you. I mean, I guess you'd have to live off family. They would just help you out.
We could have listeners mail in cash.
Some people have that too, right? They give out PO boxes, like you send cash, checks for their supporters. I was like, wow, man, the lengths people go through.
Just drop your bank account numbers and your credit card numbers, and we'll go from there. We'll take as much as we deem fit.
So your Oculus has been broken lately.
Yeah, man, it's not broken. I can't log into it. It's really.
Oh yeah, that's right. You can't log into it. Well, they have this really fun game called "I Expect You to Die." So they're on part.
Oh, three. I've seen I've heard that. Yeah.
Dude, it's such a fun game. So the third one just got released, and I'm like, wow, man, they really know how to write games and act them out. Like it's humorous, really well done.
I really miss Beat Saber. I mean, that was my jam.
Yeah, and you told me about it to try it out, and I did, man. It's a great exercise.
Yeah,
and they make it really fun.
It's super addicting.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That one's really well done too. That's why it's so big. I was always wondering, like, why is this always number one? Like, everyone's talking about it. Usually for me, if something's that big, I always like stay away from it for some reason, naturally.
Well, you know, that kind of runs in the family. We like to be contrarians.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right. So it's a genetic thing.
Yeah.
So any plans for Thanksgiving or since that's coming up?
I mean, I'm assuming I'm going to have it with your family.
Oh, nice. Yes. I can't wait because I've been doing like low carb and keto for so long, and only with these events can I just let go and just really pig out.
Hell yeah. And we always have the best food.
Yes. I mean, and it's a great reason too, and it's about food, right? The entire event is about food, which is
cool. I think it was about the Native Americans and the pilgrims getting together.
But yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Like it's
becoming... I know.
Hey, is that even a true one too? I remember hearing like, oh, that's just
completely... I don't think it's true. I think it was made up. It was made up by white people.
Yeah, to like bring the country together. I think it was Truman or something. Someone like that. Or Roosevelt, one of those guys.
I mean, you just have to look at the current state of the Native Americans to realize that we did not treat them very well, and that we probably
we
did not have a big feast with them.
No, you know, Yeah, and just that even goes back to, you see, I just comes back to this conflict now. Like when you look at it, like we how they're being treated, like we must have been really horrific to the Native Americans to be.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It must have been just unsaid. Just I didn't want to think about it.
We literally have them in like ghettos nowadays.
Yeah, like,
where I grew up, you know, we had the reservations all around us, and it's not. I mean, some of them are pretty nice areas, but most of them are not.
Right, yeah, and a lot of alcoholics. It really hits their communities bad. Alcoholism, they just can't handle it.
Man, there's this town. Maybe I shouldn't say it. Anyway,
close by. Yeah, it's close by to where you used to. Yeah.
Well, it was an hour or two away, but okay. Man, it was the most rundown, and you would just see, you know, people drinking Listerine on the side of the street. It was rough.
Damn, but
we drive through there for football games.
Yeah, so you have to see it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean the indigenous populations and many of these, the Aborigines too.
Oh yeah, no, Australia is completely screwed.
So bad, and COVID was so scary because they're like, you know, they've already enslaved us. Like they were crying out for help, and now they want to jab our communities. Help! Like they'll send out help videos.
Yeah,
fucking crazy. COVID was such
so sad, man. So sad.
It is sad, and we don't learn.
I don't think I've mentioned a TV show yet on this podcast. Maybe I have, but I'll mention another one. Have you watched or heard of Welcome to Wrexham on Hulu?
No, I haven't. On Hulu, no.
So Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny, they bought a soccer team in Wales.
Oh, you told me about that. I really want to watch it. Yeah,
It's really good, man. I don't even like soccer that much, but I know, right. I think you like soccer, right?
Yes, I do a lot.
It's so cool because they interview the players, they interview the coaches, they interview people in the community, and it's them rebuilding this really rundown team in this rundown town.
What a cool story. And it's a documentary style.
Yeah, it's a docuseries. It's really, really good. Docuseries.
Nice. And Ryan Reynolds, is he just funny naturally too? And that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they're both super funny. I don't know if you watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah, I've watched. I watched the first three seasons, I think. I didn't go beyond that. I know it went on for like a decade
longer. It's still going.
What?
Yeah, they just wrapped up season 16 like 6 months ago.
That's insane. That is really crazy.
Yeah.
Same cast.
Oh yeah.
DeVito.
Oh yeah. he's the best part.
Yes, he is the best part. Wow, 16 years. Well, I mean, if you have something great like that and it's, you know, it's fun to do and you're making a great living, why not? Why kill it?
Yeah. To be fair, this past season was pretty good, but the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 seasons were just average at best.
So any movies you recommend lately you've watched?
What did I just watch recently? There's nothing off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of too. I mean, nothing new, I don't think.
No, there's not going to be anything good that's new for a long time since
the
strikes are going on.
Oh yeah, the strikes, they're still going on, huh?
Oh yeah, I think so.
But it's AI, dude. Everyone's going with AI. I think that's what it is too.
I can't wait to watch the first AI movie. That's gonna be so shit.
Oh, like completely written. Well, yeah. I want to see which one will be, you know, written, produced, and directed by AI
and acted. I mean,
acted. Oh yeah,
they can do that now.
Dude, that's like the Matrix. Remember when that's what happened. They entered the economy. Well, the Animatrix. Have you? I'm sure you've watched those.
Yeah, yes,
yeah. So I love the history of the Matrix ones. Those ones, they did enter, even though they were pushed to some land in the desert. I think it showed it was like Saudi or something. But they ended up having their own economy, right? And they had their own inventions and they created things.
Like yeah,
the anti-grav thing was theirs.
Their city was called 10 in binary.
Yes, Yes, yeah. 1-0, exactly.
Actually, you know what's funny? You bring that up. I just watched the fourth Matrix movie last night. I mean, it's not very good.
What? No, it's not. It's not.
But I did watch it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was eye candy a little bit, but the story is just...
I mean, the first Matrix obviously was the best one, and yeah. They probably should have called it quits. I don't know. I like the Animatrix.
Yeah, me too.
Two was all right. I didn't like three very much.
Yeah, three. They just took it down another route, just the whole Jesus route kind of thing, Savior, right? That's where they were. Maybe that's what the original thing is. Anyway, Neo.
Well, I think the whole... correct me if I'm wrong. I think the whole thing is... All of the movies, it's humans playing them for a robot so they can understand human empathy. Because Neo has robot powers outside of the Matrix, which doesn't make
any sense. Yeah, he does. Or he at least for that one scene, right? When he stopped them.
Well, and he can even though he's blinded, he can still see.
Oh, the real world happened.
Yeah, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense unless...
Unless we are in a Matrix.
Right.
A bigger one.
Right. I always assumed it was like they've got some robot strapped up to a TV set, and they're playing the Matrix movies for that robot, and they get to be Neo.
Yeah.
That way they understand, you know, where humanity...
Right, the plight of humanity.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, what they have to deal with.
Yeah.
Because that would make sense too. I mean, and for any kind of species or non-human, or if you want to understand another species, that'd be a good way.
Yeah, you walk a mile in their shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's not about like just the cities they live in. It's just the dynamics of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, anyway, cool movies. I mean, I can't believe that just came up like that. The fourth one, she made it to counter. To be part of the culture war. That's what she said.
Well, it was so, it's so meta. Because he like, it's Mr. Anderson.
Yeah.
He made like a Matrix game, and they're keep talking about how Warner Brothers is going to do it without them unless they do it themselves, which is like meta because that's what was going to happen in real life. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
It's bizarre.
Well, yeah, cool, man. So, well, glad everything's back well with you and your health.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. Well, yeah, everyone, thank you so much for listening. This has been the Uncovering Anomalies podcast. That is I Want to Believe Adam.
Yes, and follow us, please, on Twitter or X, formerly known as X. I don't know for how long we have to say that for, but at X.com, we're at UAP, the podcast. And we're on YouTube and Rumble at UAP Podcast. And we're on all platforms, whether it's Apple, Google. Google is switching over now to YouTube Music.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I said Apple, Castbox, all the big ones, actually. I've been seeing traffic from everywhere. Podcast Addict, which is cool because you have to manually add that. So we're seeing traffic from there. And traffic from all over the world, which is awesome. You know, it's a pretty international show. Well, I mean, 60% US, and then it's like 15% UK, and then Canada, plenty in Europe, which is nice, you know. And listenership on YouTube now is like surpassing kind of the podcast, or they're kind of equal now. It's looking like. But on Spotify, we put up the videos just like we put on YouTube. So If you have Spotify, you can actually see it on video, not just listen to it. Other than that, support us. We have a support link, although not necessary or not obligatory, but it'd be nice to get a nice pat on the back, right? Although seeing the growth, also listenership is nice.
I prefer pat on the butt.
Pat in the butt. All right, so I'll add that to the copy of this show and just see if it helps. It'd be a nice A/B experiment.
Absolutely. All right. And I am Tippity Toppity Topher. And once again, thank you all so much for listening. And we will see you next week.
Next week.